God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 19 to 22, beginning with verses 19 and 20. No doubt there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine may be recognized among you when you gather together in the same place. It is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Paul seems to be hinting that the church was holding two meals. The factions or divisions in the church were showing up in one of the meals and then extending into the other. Now, the second of these meals, the one he'll spend the most time on, was the Lord's Supper. And for the moment, we will set that one aside because they also held another community meal, which they called the Agape. This love feast, as it's called in Jude 1:12, was something like the potluck meals our churches still hold today. The ancient church did not approve of holding such meals apart from the minister. One ancient church father says, wherever the pastor appears, that is where the congregation should be. Just as wherever Christ is, there is the whole church. It is not right either to baptize or hold the agape apart from the pastor. That's Ignatius to the Smyrnians in chapter 8. Later on, because of abuses, there was a rule made that Christians should only hold an agape meal after the Lord's Supper and not before, so that no one would be drunk at the Lord's table. So when Paul says, when you gather in the same place, he seems to mean that after their agape meal, they stayed together for the Lord's Supper. But because of their abuses, it wasn't the meal of the Lord at all, because they were turning it into something else. Verses 21 and 22. For when you eat, each one goes ahead with his own supper. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this matter, I cannot praise you. The abuse is easy to imagine. But we live in a time when we can scarcely believe how rude, cruel, and class-conscious ancient people were. Paul says, one goes hungry, another gets drunk. He's cramming a lot of thought into just a few words. What he means is, of course, some gorge themselves on delicious food and get drunk on the best wine. Others went without food altogether and had no wine at all. But there were many who were in between. They got poor wine at best, and meager food, and they were probably used to it. The Roman poet Martial, who was born around 40 AD, not long before this, complained bitterly in a letter, "You partake of oysters fattened in Lake Lucerne. I tear my lips in sucking on a limpet. Before you are placed splendid mushrooms. I help myself to such as are fit only for pigs. You are provided with a turbot, an excellent fish. I with a sparrowless, a terrible fish. The golden turtle dove fills your stomach with its over-fattened body. A magpie that died in its cage is set before me. Why do I dine without you, Ponticus, when I dine with you?" Similar complaints can be found in other writers such as Pliny the Younger and Juvenal. The theme among the ancients was better food for better people. But Paul is concerned about serving the Lord's Supper, the only food and drink where the forgiveness of sins is offered and given along with the eating and drinking. What better food could there be? But it must be offered to everyone who is of the fellowship, who are able to recognize it for what it is. And we'll talk more about that in verses 28 and 29. But when Paul scolds them, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? He is saying first that they should leave their factions and class consciousness and whatever else at home, because there's no room for it here in God's house. And second, the Lord's Supper was to be shared as a congregation, wherever the group met. And that could be in a dungeon, by a riverbank, in a home, or in a building set aside for public worship, a church. The sacred meal of the Lord's Supper was degraded and made shameful when such things as gluttony and drunkenness and a failure to love one's neighbor were present in the meal itself? Would we honor God and receive his blessings with thanks if we allowed only certain members of our fellowship to receive the sacrament? While there is a distinction in the Lord's Supper of fellowship, there is not to be any distinction within that fellowship. Now, another point to be made here is the abuse of consecrating the elements of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, and then not sharing them or distributing them at all. The Lord's Supper cannot be received on behalf of someone else, just as baptism cannot be received on behalf of someone else, nor circumcision for that matter. Therefore, the practice in some churches of the private mass is a false sacrament. Christ gave thanks, broke bread, distributed it, and told them, "Do this in remembrance of me." So if a preacher wants to conduct the Holy Supper only by consecrating the bread and wine without distributing it, or by eating and drinking it only by himself, he has not done what the Lord Christ did and commanded to be done. When we distribute and take the Lord's Supper, we remember most of all the reason that it was given to us, for the forgiveness of our sins. This blessing is shown us by these words, "Given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Through these words, we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in this sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.